We will be in Romans 7 this morning, if you want to start turning there. And just want to start out, and I guess I told a few guys this, but Happy New Year. You know, it is a new year now. Mentally, it creates kind of a marker within us. It makes us look at it and think, clean slate, new beginning. And it's the time of year when everyone starts making New Year's resolutions. It's the time when we decide that it's time to make a change. You know, we could decide at any point of the year, though, that it's time to make a change. But there's a shift that happens within us that we look at and we decide that it's a new year and it's time for the new. In all reality, most New Year's resolutions, though, they don't last. Because although there was inspiration to start working out, to start going on a diet, to start reading through the entire Bible in a year, to get organized, to eliminate all the junk from the closet, even though there was inspiration, there was work that ensued after it. There was an effort that had to go forth. Sure, starting out, it went pretty good. Maintain a pace for a week, maybe two. Maybe you were better than about 80% that give up after a month. But eventually, sometimes there's not enough resolution to get behind and push through it. You think I'm picking on you? I'm just as guilty myself. But it takes making a determination to change. Not just liking the idea of change, but to actually purpose and put it to action to change. But here's a wonderful thing about God. He makes us new all the time. He gives us a fresh beginning constantly. He doesn't wait for once a year for us to be cleansed. He makes us clean as many times as we will come to Him. There's something about the word new that jumps out at us as we read the word. We see how we're a new creation, how our old nature is dead, and we have new life. We recognize how God loves to do a new thing, how He gives us a new heart, how He created the new covenant with us. And we also recognize here in Romans 7, starting at verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, as you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We're talking about the newness of the Spirit this morning. See, the Old Testament law was completed and fulfilled by Jesus. The Old Testament law is no longer what binds us and tells us what to do, what not to do. We don't look at the rules that were given there to make our decisions anymore. There were 613 of them. There's no way that we could fulfill them perfectly. Many have gone before us and tried. There's only one person who was ever able to live a life without breaking those laws. And that was Jesus. He lived victoriously over what the law commanded. And because he lived victoriously, he took the law to the cross with him. He buried the law with him, but he did not bring the law back out of the grave. See, up until that point, sin had victory over man. The law was there to show what sin was. The law was there to give an example of how God said to live. But it kept people controlled by the law. law was a work that people were doing in order to try to be in right standing with God. Almost every single religion, there's some form of work that people try to do to please their God. Something that they try to do to earn favor with their God. But that's what sets Christians apart. See, with Jesus, it's no longer working to achieve righteousness or working to be in right standing with God. But rather, with Jesus, we are working out of a position of right standing with God. If you guys are going to do one of those Bible in a year reading plans, a lot of us get to the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and think, wow, how could anybody keep all these laws? But we're dead to the laws that you see there now. See, Paul had already told the believers in this letter in Romans 6 and starting in verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life." Continues in verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are in Christ. We're made new. We're dead to the law. Our old man was crucified with Christ. That sin that the old man had, it went to Jesus on the cross. But we're resurrected with Jesus. We're no longer controlled by the sin. It no longer has power over us. See, as long as the Israelites remained under the law, sin had control over them. Sin kept them from being in right standing with God. But Jesus takes our sin. He cleanses us from sin. He broke sin's power over us. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. Paul then says, since we no longer have the law in our lives, we are now free. We're free to marry another. We're free to cling to Jesus. We're free to be joined to Jesus, who is raised from the dead. We're no longer joined to sin. We're able to be Jesus' bride. His bride must be free of spot or blemish. He wants a victorious bride. He wants us. His desire is each and every one of us. It's after our leaving of sin and our cleaving to Jesus that we're able to live victoriously. It's how we're able to bear fruit to God. See, while we were under the law, the rules that we were told, any fruit that was bared was fruit to death. It didn't produce what it should have. See, sin was tainting that fruit. The law was making it so that you, when you fulfill one part of the law, it'll make other sin just as apparent. And it was a constant work to try to take the offering and offer that at the point. Bearing fruit that leads to death with sin. But hallelujah, we already have our high priest that took that offering. He was offered once and for all. See, and because of that offering, we are now free from the law. And we're able to bear fruit for God, bearing fruit that leads to life. We've been delivered from the law. We've been delivered from legalism, where we have to do it exactly this way. Believe it or not, legalism still exists in the church today. There are some people who say it needs to be done exactly this way. There are some places that say you have to wear suits or skirts to go to service. You can't dress in certain ways. You can't have tattoos. They're going to keep you from going to heaven. They're saying that you must be baptized in order to go to heaven. See, legalism misses the point of Jesus coming to earth. Because Jesus made a way. He merely says, come. His law is a law of grace. His law is not written on tablets of stone. Jesus' law is written on our hearts. He reveals that law through the relationship that he has with us. Now, that doesn't mean that what God told the Israelites through the Old Testament is bad. There are many things that God tells us that agree with what was written, but we aren't bound by it. See, if you've tried to fulfill one part of the Old Testament law, you have to try to do all of it. And if you think you can do that, then you don't need Jesus. Because Jesus came because we weren't able to fulfill the Old Testament law. We negate what Jesus came to earth to do. Jesus was the only way to bring everyone back to God. He was the only one that was going to bring life to God's people. See, we had to die to the old law in order to be able to receive the new law, the new covenant. And Jesus gives that to us freely. He is the one who guides us. The law is no longer the way to be in good standing with God. It is through faith alone and Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He renews us. I know that's a word sometimes that we kick around a lot. But have you ever thought of the actual word renew? The base word is new. But the prefix in front of it basically says to do it again. Re. To do it again. Make us new again. Because Jesus does make us new again. And he does it over and over and over. See, he is a loving God. He makes us new all the time. I thank God for that because we have flesh on our bones. We're going to do stupid things. We're going to mess up from time to time. But he is faithful to forgive us if we ask him. He's willing to remove our sin from him. We're no longer a sinner saved by grace. Our nature is no longer to sin. It's now that we're righteous through Jesus. See, he gives us that new life. He gives us a new birth. He gives us new breath. So what do we do with this new life? Well, we're not working to have a new life. We're not working to gain God's blessing, but we're serving in the newness of the Spirit. Everything we're doing it in the newness of the Spirit. We're operating because Holy Spirit is guiding us. We don't give because it's a rule. We give because it's what God is showing us to do in our relationship with him. We don't serve because it checks a box. We serve because God shows us how we are to serve. We're here to reflect our relationship with Christ in Rochester and the surrounding areas. We're here to reflect his nature. We're here to care for those around us. We're here to love the people that He loves. We do the things that we do because He has changed us from within to desire that. That's the law that He has written on our hearts. Tithing is no longer 10%, but rather whatever God is laying on our heart. And He might just surprise us and ask us to do more. See, serving is now a way of life because God shows us a need and how it needs done. Don't think because it's something that you've never done before that it's not something that God might use to do. There's plenty of excuses of why not to do it. That's just the enemy trying to talk you out of what God is showing you. See, the enemy tries to control by fear, but God overflows with love and grace. The oldness of the letter was external works and actions. The newness of the Spirit is a change from within. That is where God is wanting us to recognize His works. He wants us to have a change and a desire from within us. That's why He merely opened an invitation for us to join Him. So many of the disciples, when they were called, were simply told to come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Jesus is not going to force Himself on anyone, but He will have a divine appointment set up to introduce Himself. He makes it personal. He shows us how much He loves us. The newness of the Spirit reminds me of when Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "The time is coming when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth." God has made us new again by His Spirit. Jesus ascended back to heaven, but He was faithful to send Holy Spirit back to us. He desired to send the one that was just like Him to be back with us. One third of the Godhead coming back to make us His dwelling place. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on us. He wants us to decide to honor Him. He wants us to make the decision that He is what we desire. He's faithful to show us what to do, though. And so we touched on the fruit leading to death, fruits such as division, legalism, and condemnation. But God's fruit is positive and uplifting, as it says in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I love how God intermixes the same theme throughout His Word. See, Paul lists out the fruit of the Spirit, and then he immediately says, "Against such there is no law." And then he talks about how those who are of Christ have crucified our flesh and its passions and desires. See, when we embrace the relationship and the newness of the Spirit, we shed our own desires off and we want His desires to come front and center. We put aside what our preferences are and look to the greater cause in Christ. We see and love people the way God wants us to see and love people. We lift them up. We show them hope. We bring life to them, not death. So we walk in the Spirit, because that is who we are now. We're children of God. We are of Christ. We are reflecting His nature. We see the same idea flow through Ephesians 5 and verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. See, our nature has changed, so our fruit has changed as well. We used to be darkness, but now we are light. People can see our light. People can see our fruit. God is good, and His fruit is good as well. We walk in the Spirit. We walk as children of light. But we filter it all through Him. He is the one who's writing the law on our hearts. What He tells us is what goes. When He reveals something to us, that is what we press into. We find out what is acceptable to Him. He is not silent in our relationship with Him. In fact, we'll find out He tells us more than we realize at times. It's a matter of quieting ourselves, though, and letting His voice come through loud and clear. Let's build a little flavor looking at Romans 7 here in other translations. In the Message Bible, it reads, "So, my friends, this is something like what has taken place with you. When Christ died, He took that entire rule-dominated way of life down with Him and left it in the tomb, leaving you free to marry a resurrection life and bear offspring of faith for God. For as long as we live that old way of life, doing whatever we felt we could get away with, sin was calling most of the shots as the old law code hemmed us in. And this made us all the more rebellious. In the end, all we had to show for it was miscarriages and stillbirths. But now that we're no longer shackled to that domineering maid of sin, and out from under all those oppressive regulations and fine print, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God." I'm just going to add one more verse, verse 6 out of the Passion's Translation. "But now that we have been fully released from the power of the law, we are dead to what once controlled us, and our lives are no longer motivated by the obsolete way of following the written code, so that now we may serve God by living in the freshness of a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit." It's a new year. But God is always doing a new thing in us. We have to be willing to let Him do that new thing, though. It's not up to us to just let Him reveal it to us, but to walk in what He's showing us. Putting a new calendar on the wall gives a sense of a new start, fresh beginnings, but our nature is always new. God doesn't change, but He does change our way of looking at things. He doesn't make us feel bad. He's not going to tell us it's not going to work out. No, He is the God of hope. He's full of hope. He's full of joy. He's full of peace. He's a calmness in this hurried world. He gives us peace when we feel troubled. He doesn't necessarily make problems go away, but He does make it more enjoyable to go through it, because we go through it right there with Him. Because He loves us. He is the loving Father. He spends time with His children. We're children of the light. That's our new nature. That's our newness of the Spirit. When we recognize and embrace that, then we truly walk in it. We may have made some New Year's resolutions, but we must run it through Holy Spirit. If God wants that resolution, that's our reason for wanting to continue in it. That's when we know we persevere to do what it is that He's wanting us to do. We'll walk according to His will and His plan, because we're in a relationship with Him. See, Paul says in Galatians that the new life I live in the flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God. Our new life we're living, we live it by faith. It's only by our faith that we're actually saved. That's the one act we must do. Faith. Because if we embrace faith in Jesus, everything else will flow from it. Every act of service then becomes an act of faith. Because out of our faith that we act on it. That's the freedom that Jesus gives us. We're no longer controlled by sin. We're no longer controlled by our past. But we're fully living by faith in the newness of the Spirit. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for making us new. Lord, we thank you that you make us new all the time. Lord, that we don't have to wait for once a year to be new. Lord, we don't have to wait to start a new thing. Lord, that you have new in your vocabulary. So, Lord, we thank you for the relationship that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for being clear and loud in our relationship. Lord, we tune our ear to hear your voice. Lord, we tune out the voice of the enemy. Lord, we recognize the distractions. We recognize the condemnation. We recognize the attacks that he has. And we thank you for your authority in our life over it. So, Lord, help us walk by faith. Lord, help us live by faith in you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that out of that faith flows so many things. Lord, help us walk in the newness of the Spirit. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. We love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.